Welcome to the I'm Still Here podcast. I'm your host, Heather Jose. In 1998, at the age of 26, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It changed everything for us, but I'm still here. And we're here to talk to you about life with metastatic disease. We know it's not easy. We know that there are challenges that never get talked about, but we're here to walk with you through them, to show you some hope, some inspiration, and to help you make a plan so that you can join me in saying, I'm still here.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thanks for coming back to part 2 of returning to normal after cancer diagnosis. We just got going and talking, and I didn't want to stop recording, so we decided to divide this up into 2 episodes. So hope you're ready for part 2 of our talk about kind of returning to normal after a cancer diagnosis. Thanks.
I think the other thing that we have gotten really good at over time is having hard conversations, mm-hmm. right? And I will say too, like all of this is tied together in that I've learned that because we've had harder conversations about like money and things like that, which we don't like to talk about necessarily or haven't. I think all of those things, when I feel like we're on the same page about all the rest of our lives, we can be on the same page also from an intimacy standpoint. And that's made a huge difference mm-hmm. to me. So, yeah. There's a few other things. I think let's just keep going, and maybe we'll just split this up into 2.
Let's go.
Okay. all right. Is my family planning done? Which, from that respect, we had a 2-sentence conversation about, were you planning to have more kids?
Oh, yeah.
No, we weren't planning to have more kids. Or yes, we were planning to have more kids. No, that won't be possible. 3 sentences. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, at the beginning, that was such a huge, huge issue, right? Like, with cancer, it literally just feels like take your whole life and throw it up in the air and see what lands, right?
Which today, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, that's not happening as fast. Because they're not coming in with the high-dose chemo right away. They are in a lot, and you might say, bullshit, that's what I get. Yeah. Okay, I'm not. For a lot of people, maybe not you, they are starting with hormone therapy. They are starting with immunotherapy. They're starting with other things that doesn't negate that possibility.
And the discussion is, yes. What were you thinking versus, sorry,
yes.
You're done.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, there can be consideration of, could we harvest eggs or do we want to do these things? Does it make sense? And this is the thing for me that does give me some peace, I guess, with all of that, is like, it would never have made sense for me to have another baby with this because of the hormones. Like, it was out of the question for me because of the hormones. So even if we had harvested and mm-hmm. I don't know, then you're getting into things that I just wouldn't have probably worked for us.
And, you know, I was okay with one child at the time,
yes.
You know, so it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I wanted 10 kids or even 5 kids.
Right.
I didn't want that. I didn't think I wanted that at the time. So it was less impactful for me personally than I think it is for a lot of other people.
Yeah, and I think that there's also the difference between, I think I had to grieve the fact that I couldn't physically have more children.
Right.
Like, when something gets taken away from you, you feel just so differently about it.
Another thing on the list.
Another thing on the list, especially when you're young in your 20s and 30s and people are talking about having babies. And this is where I do feel like I can relate to people with infertility problems, where people talk about babies as if they just are going to have them exactly when they want to.
Sure.
Like, it's no big deal. They're going to get pregnant. This is what it's going to be. You know, I mean, I have friends who have kids who are like 2 years apart, boom, 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 you know, like that kind of stuff. That's the way their life worked. And I think it's just so painful as a woman to just be like, no, that's not.
It's not a possibility.
Not a possibility.
And that's the thing. Whether you wanted to or not, you know it's stripped of you.
Yes.
And that's hard with anything, I think, probably. But specifically that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides your life, that's literally the next biggest thing that can be stripped of you.
Yeah.
Your ability to bring a life in.
Yeah. And again, that's why I think it's always, I've talked a little bit about like how I had to sign pregnancy waivers. My entire, all of this longevity of doing this, and it's just a dagger in the heart. And it's just like, please stop doing this to us, please. You know, it's just terrible.
And, you know, they might not know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So why don't you give
me that a little bit. So with like PET scans, bone scans, and things like that, I would go in and they'd have me fill out a form and it'd be like, are you pregnant? And I'm like, no. And quit flipping asking.
And it's a little box to check or an answer to give. Yeah. That's not the point. The point is that you revisit the fact that again,
you can't be pregnant.
Can't have
and you're asking me this. And
it's taken from you.
Yeah. And I would then, of course, take it up. And I've done a million things. I've drawn lines through it. I've ranted about it. I've done all of these different things.
Going all the way up the chain of command.
I've said, like, I will sign a, you know, liability waiver so you are never held responsible. Like, stop doing this to women who are already grieving that. You're bringing it up every time, you know. And we have made some progress with it at the University of Michigan. And I appreciate that. But it is something that I just think, in healthcare, we don't consider some things that are just really
hurtful. We don't consider the mental side.
No.
We don't consider it. And it's probably the most important side. And the more we talk about this and lay it out and really, it all comes back to the mental side.
Yeah.
And it's just ignored, not everywhere, but it is ignored for the most part in medicine.
Well, and it's trumped by things like, again, in the United States, liability. Well, you can't tell me that I can't sign that a one and done, you know, for these tests or whatever. I get it that you want to protect yourself or whatever, but it's just not considered in a way that, you know, brings out the best in patients. And I can't tell you how many times I've called you after those things and just...
Or just there.
Or
if
just
I'm there in the waiting room and I see you come out, I go, I already know what happened.
Yeah, I mean...
You'd be in tears and...
Yeah. And you're adding that to the fact that this, you know, that this scan could change your life, right? So,
you're already up here. You're at a 10 anxiety ways.
Right.
And then you're like, they better not.
Yeah.
And then they do, and
yeah,
it just
there it
takes
goes.
You over the top.
Yeah. So, I will say, getting back to like the family planning, there are other possibilities. We have a son who we adopted. He was born in India, and we brought him home in 2002. Those are not, I don't think I've heard of any adoption processes that are easy. But they were definitely, I mean, for us, it was very worthwhile. And there's a million ways to build families. And I think, you know.
And we never would have done that.
We never would have adopted
without cancer.
Mm-hmm. And he's exactly, I believe, where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also just always opened our house up in other ways as well. So I think it's safe to say that everybody knows that we have a bedroom available for teenage kids going through tough times, right? So, yeah, it doesn't always have to look the way that you might picture it. And I did have to get...
But that doesn't make it easier when you did picture it.
Yeah.
And it's not that way now.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. So, I don't
know. And it doesn't matter if you're in your 50s and you got diagnosed. And there's still things that are taken away from you or opportunities that are taken away from you because of this cancer that there's just fact. They're taken away from you. And it may be completely, it may not be a kid, it may be something completely different, but you can't do that now, and that just sucks.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff, too, that always comes back to those initial conversations that people have, and that's, I think, maybe the biggest barrier is, like, feeling like people take so much for granted in a normal you know, life that hasn't been impacted by a trauma, right? So,
You know, and this is kind of a great example of kind of how you roll with this is, you know, went through menopause, can't have another kid, or you know, the chemotherapy, the high-dose chemotherapy took care of that. And not too long after that, I mean, I'm saying within a few years, you were already going down the path of, well, there's adoption.
Yeah.
And, you know, being 1 year out of a metastatic breast cancer, you know, you're already going, hey, let's to consider adoption. And most people would not do that. But again, this mental side of you changing something into a positive, or this, no, this is where I want to go. I want to research this. I want to see if we can. And there were, you know, some no's in there, some, you know, that type of thing that we had to, you know, go, but you didn't take that as an, it was just, okay, and we're now we're going here and going here and let's see what they offer and got it done.
Yeah.
So, but that's that mental side again, that you just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember actually in the midst of it, because we did have some challenges and we had, when we decided on India, the part of India where we were going to adopt from get closed down because of like a scandal, whatever. And I remember somebody saying to me, maybe it's not meant to be, and me going, I can't accept that.
F you.
I'm not so much about, it's kind of like that and God's will be done, which I always took as a negative. Those are just the things that I'm just like, don't tell me that. I cannot. I will not accept that.
No
so,
way.
And I guess my thought with that, I mean, I've said this before and maybe it's, I don't know if it's the right thing to say or not, but I thought if nothing else, this child is going to have one really great parent. And that kind of kept me like determined, you know, ready to go. And I was willing to see how that went, right?
Thanks. Stick him with me alone.
So, but turned out okay.
Yeah.
So, I think one of the other things that is just a big question all the time and this loss of normal is, like, what if it changes? What if it comes back? What if it recurs? It's funny because, again, in the cancer community, I feel like people love to split hairs over this stuff. Like, I'll say that I'm stable and people go, what does that mean? And then people like, you know, no evidence of disease and no evidence of active disease. And like, I don't care what you want to call it. The fact is we don't want it to get worse, right? And also, at times, it might get worse. So how do we deal with that, you know, and...
That thought.
And
not actual happening, necessarily. Yeah, it's that thought that you probably can't make ever go away.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just learning to live with... For some of it is just staying present and grounded and like we'll deal with that if it comes kind of thing. You know, it's also like hanging on to the words that hopefully your oncologist has said. You know, I remember Dr. Mariver, we were talking about Herceptin at the time, like we'll just keep that in our back pocket, like, you know, having some faith in science and whatever, that the right thing will come. But it's also just really about not borrowing trouble, you know?
For sure.
And I think that can be difficult. But
yeah,
it's so important.
So important.
You know?
And that's where, you know, things I think like meditation and things like surrounding yourself with the people who don't take you down those roads.
Yes.
And exercise and nutrition, all that to make your body feel good.
Yeah.
All of those things go into that. So we naturally are staying away from that road of going down there. Yeah. And sometimes we slip into it, but it's easily to bring us back.
Yeah.
Versus we're often going down that road that all we're thinking about is a negative. And every now and then we realize, oh, I wasn't thinking about that. Those are the two different examples.
Well, and the other thing that when you're talking that comes to mind is like being involved in these like Facebook groups and things like that, where everybody is always talking about metastatic disease. And oftentimes they're talking about recurrence and they're talking about progression because it's, you know, they're looking for advice or whatever, but man, is that mentally.
That's exactly what brings you into that. Well, what you can't help but go, right. What about me?
Right.
So you gotta be careful there.
You do have to be careful. And, everybody, I guess, gets to do it their own way. And that's exactly what we want people to do. But we also just want you to work from your strengths and
identifying where are you now?
Yeah.
Where is your mental state right now? And reevaluating that. And it's the same with, you know, social media and being on that too much or the, okay, we got to reevaluate ourselves and go, what I'm doing, is it healthy for me?
Yeah. And just recognize too that you can, I mean, it's okay. You don't have to be cancer 24/7. And in fact, you really shouldn't be. And
because be careful. Cause I do, there are a lot of people who they become cancer.
Yes.
That is them. That's their identity. And maybe they didn't even have a huge identity prior to this.
Yeah.
Or maybe they didn't. It got stripped of them. So this becomes their identity.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I think you gotta be careful.
I think so too.
I don't think you'll ever get that far away from it if that's who you are.
I agree. I think that's probably a whole other...
Is that gonna offend some people?
Well, I don't...
I'm sorry if it...
I mean, we're not out to offend people, but we also are here to tell what we feel is our truth, right?
Okay, that's true. Yep.
And our truth with that is that, you can't... I mean, this is the thing, and I feel like this goes back to... Reminds me of a talk I had with one of those teenagers who was hanging... Mm-hmm. Who was living here, and just really, like, sad about the circumstances. And it's like... Okay, what can we change and what can't we change? And the impact, you know, the things that have happened to you are the things that have happened to you, but you still get to find your way forward. Yeah. Not saying it's easy. And you can, I mean, again, you can be sad for a while, but you ultimately, like, who's that hurting? That's how I feel, right? Like, it hurts you, right? To not... try to live this life with some joy and with some intent and with a woe is me attitude. Like that's not going to draw in the people or the life that you want, you know?
And so, that's just not us. We are suck it up, buttercup. Let's go. That's it. We still are sad and we still cry and we still mourn things. And I'm not saying it, but after a while it's like, okay, get off your ass. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's us.
Well, and I agree. But I also think, progress is one step. Like, do one thing and give yourself some credit for it, right? Like, you don't have to move mountains.
No.
That's not what we're asking. But we're just, I mean, with all of it, I think you get to consider how you want to do this, right? And write it down. Think about it. Talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Cancer isn't just, like, it is happening to you, but how are you going to also, like, live with it, right? Yeah,
it's happening to your body, but, you know, it's not you, though.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's happening to your body. It's not you. It doesn't have to become you. And I think it does for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it may to me. I'm saying this as an outsider right now, so feel free to yell at me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess we all have a choice how to live with it, right? And that's my other thing too, is like, I am also at the point where I don't want to be called a survivor. I don't want to be called a thriver. I am living with metastatic breast cancer, and emphasis on the living. Like, the living part for me is how can I have a life that feels fulfilling to me? How can I help others? How can I serve others? How can I, you know, bring joy? All of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? Versus going through the motions. Like, I just was having a conversation with someone and I was just like, especially when you've been diagnosed, like the fact that we have a day, you do want to walk that line of, I'm really lucky to be here today. Or how can I live today? It doesn't mean that you have to go have the best day of your life. It just means how can I be aware that just being here on this earth is something to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're back to the mental side.
I know. And Lord. We're back to... Like, I do think that honestly, like, gratitude and those kind of things are what brings us back, yeah, right?
100%.
To all of this, and does help you. This is the thing, I guess, we started out talking about this loss of normal. You have to build your own normal. It's a new normal. I don't want my old life back, I'll be honest. I think there's many things about it that would have been great, but I'm not sorry that I don't have it, you know? And I love thinking about the possibilities of what my life could be. And cancer's a part of it, you know? So
it's not your identity, but
no.
Is, in your case, something you feel like maybe you can help other people with. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Not have to go through a lot of the...
Well, just no. You, I think you still have to go through it, but I just want you to know I have, and I'll go through it with you, and it's okay to keep.
No, I'm just saying. I didn't say you don't have to go through it.
Oh,
not have to go through it without some advice or some pre-thought.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
was
yeah,
nothing
yeah.
like that.
Oh man, we would have given anything for any of that. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think when I was diagnosed, there was a. Essiac tea, which was like a special blend of tea that somebody had come up with. And there was a book called The Cancer Battle Plan, which was like this diet thing. There was very little out there. And it wasn't from people that were still living with cancer. So,
yeah.
That's the thing, right?
There was something from Heather.
It's coming. It's coming, coming, coming. So... All right. Well, we hope that was helpful, and we just want you to know that it's completely normal for your brain to be spinning and asking all these questions, but also you get a choice as to how you deal with it a little bit, and it's like you said, very mental, and you can choose how to handle it. I mean, do some writing, do some meditation. Use some distraction, do all of those kind of things, but make yourself a toolbox of ways to handle this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to give yourself time to grieve, but you can't stay there. Like, you got to keep moving forward.
You can, but you're not going to like the results.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. I think the dogs are probably getting close to waking up. So... We will see you next time.
See ya.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still here. After all these years, after all these tears I shed. I'm still here. And I'm walking this earth like I should be. There was days that I didn't know if I would be. Stand tall with my feet in the ground and my head in the clouds. Cause I'm still here, like I should be. Yeah, yeah, like I knew that I could be. Here we go, here we go.